Welcome back. Great to have you with us on EAA Radio. Rick Gray is with us, and in many ways, and I'm kidding, sort of, Rick has made my life miserable as an average home builder as I walk the home builds here at Oshkosh over the last 11 years that I've been building. When you're a builder and you've got a project underway, you have to go look at the finished projects on the field, and it's natural to compare your work with what you see there. And when you run across one of Rick Gray's projects, it's rough for an average home builder because Rick builds champions, right? And how many so far? I know you built 12 planes. How many were champions?
I'm working on my 12th one right now. Most of my planes are RV project, a little bit of tube and fabric. So I'm on my 12th one right now, and that's in 12 years, Bob.
Yeah.
And let me just back up and say it's really good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Okay, good to be here, and thanks so much for asking me to spend a few minutes with you.
You bet.
And maybe somebody listening will pick up one tip.
That's right.
One little thing to help them do a better job building their airplane and make it worthy of the judges at Oshkosh.
And you are one of the judges at Oshkosh,
I am. I won, gee whiz, how can I say this? I won so many awards I got in trouble.
Yeah.
And now they asked me to be a judge. So it's quite an honor.
Yeah.
It's quite an honor to be involved with the judges. And it's even better. It offers me an opportunity to give back a little bit to the EAA. Mm-hmm. The EAA has been real good to me over the years, and I can give back a little bit. Plus, they have great donuts in the judge's trailer.
It's all about the donuts.
Every morning, yes, you get the donuts.
Now, you've made a pretty good career here out of building airplanes, but at one point, were you, like a lot of people perhaps that are listening, like a guy that could say, geez, I don't know if I could build my own airplane? Or were you always a real craftsman?
No, I never was like that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do it, and I knew it could be done. And I think most people have heard this before, but just never look at it like you're building an airplane. Just look at it like you're building one component. So I'll never forget when I built my first airplane, I built the rudder and brake pedals. Mm-hmm. And I riveted about 15, 20 rivets together and put two pieces together and brought them in and put them on the kitchen table while we ate dinner and said to the whole family, hey, look what I just made.
Yeah.
Put it right there next to the salt and pepper. And that's how you get started. Just think about it as one part, and before you know it, you've got a whole airplane.
Yeah. You see, as a judge, you see the best that's out there.
I see more than the worst. There
right?
you go. Yes, I see not just
Do you
the
see
best.
More best or more worst?
I see a lot of average. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of very average, mediocre, safe, solid airplanes. And sometimes that's people's goals. They just want to build an airplane that is safe and is solid, and they can go in and go on a fishing trip or go on a pancake breakfast with their spouse or their kids or their buddy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the way I look at things is if you're going to build anything or make anything, if you're going to mow the lawn, okay, mm-hmm. you mow the lawn as straight and even as you can. All right, and it's the same when you build an airplane. If every part on any of my airplanes, I have three criteria. It doesn't matter if it's an empennage fairing or a little standoff block or any little part that I make has to meet three criteria. And I look at it and I say to myself, it has to be safe. Is this part safe? Whatever it is. It has to be functional. All makes sense, right? Safe and functional. But for me, the third thing, it has to look good. No matter what. And if it doesn't meet all three criteria, I do not put it on the airplane. Mm. And I just make another one that is safe and functional and looks good.
And was that always your standard with the number one?
It always was. I didn't know what my standard was.
Yeah.
I just kind of did it. But now, somehow, over the years, those three little comments has come to me.
Yeah.
And I literally, those three things go through my head on every little part I make. Is it safe? Is it going to work? Is it functional? And does it look good?
See, because I contend the hardest part of building an airplane isn't like, well, it's really hard to build a fuel tank or it's really hard to, slice up a canopy. The hardest part is setting that point at which you decide that this thing is ready to go on the airplane.
Is it good enough for you?
Because there's nobody to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's another thing. I never look at a part and say, oh, that's good enough. Because if you say it's good enough,
yeah,
then you just set your own standard. It's good enough. It says it, you know, in itself.
Yeah.
It's good enough. So it's good enough for what? So never say it's good enough. Instead of that, say, that's pretty good. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's pretty good. Right.
Yeah.
Not good
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
And if it's pretty good, it's usually better than good enough.
But man, you could find yourself ordering a lot of replacement parts.
Yes and no. Yeah. Yes and no. I think specifically when you talk about some of the Vans kits, mm-hmm. He's done a wonderful job with the whole corporation, and the kits go together so nicely. If you follow step by step, then it should go together well. I recommend practicing. Get some scrap, get some sheet metal, buy one of the little kits, and practice. Same with fiberglass, anything else. Research on the internet. Gee whiz, you know what? If you get in trouble, call me. It's free. Call me anytime, any day or night. My phone is always ringing, and it doesn't cost anything.
I should point out, at least the last time I checked, you had a builder's assist center.
I did.
You do this, right?
I still do.
Still?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this all started out as a hobby.
It
now
did.
It's the gig.
It started out as a hobby until I lost my job.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a shift supervisor for Chevron Corporation for 30 years. And so I haven't had like a paying job for this August. Well, next month will be, I think, 7 years. So I just fell back on something that I love to do. Okay. I love people and I love aviation and I love building airplanes.
Yeah.
So now I'm able to, you know, follow the rules. The rules are real easy to follow. The 51% rule and the builder's assist rule and, you know, the checklist that you check off when you sign all your paperwork to get your airworthiness certificate from your DAR or your local FSDO and whatnot. You follow those rules and jump right in and you can help someone and make them happy.
Yeah.
I'm famous with my builder assist little shop I have over there. My big thing over there is I do my best to work myself out of a job. Okay. And what I mean by that is people come in and they're after sometimes maybe a day or a week or a month, and before you know it, they tell me, look me right in the eye, and they say, you know what, Rick, I think I got it. I don't think I need you anymore.
Yeah.
And when they do that, they tell me they don't need me anymore, then I feel wonderful.
When you're doing the judging over here, I'm certain, and over the years, I'm sure you've seen the one thing you, is there one thing that people do that you wish they did differently in one part, one component, one thing that screams out at you that drives you crazy?
There's probably more than one.
All right.
Yeah, there's probably more than one. I guess finish work. I think it comes down to just simple finish work, kind of going back to where I said it's good enough.
Yeah.
So if you're sanding on a piece of fiberglass and making it nice and smooth or putting primer or whatnot, you don't bother to do the pinholes or don't use the right grade sandpaper, and you can kind of see it through your paint. You're paying a lot of money for these kits, and I think you need to carry the quality of the kit through to with the quality of your finish. So I think to answer your question, it just be that people just don't finish the project.
Yeah. All right, give me that one tip.
That
would make my plane a grand champion.
One tip. Well, you know what? The best tip I think I can give you is just enjoy the build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be a grand champion. There's no shame. I tell people all the time, there's no shame at all at not winning an award at Oshkosh.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Just enjoy it. That's my tip. Enjoy it. Have fun. Enjoy the concentration and the thought process when you're laying in bed at night thinking about that part that you're going to build the next day. And have fun, because before you know it, you're not going to have that plane in your garage and you're going to be looking for something else to do. It's fun.
Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Yeah. Not quite a year ago, you had an accident in an RV-10.
I did. It was horrific.
Yeah. What's it like to come back from that and still be interested in flying?
I had a horrific accident, Bob. I had a brand new Lycoming engine that literally exploded, okay? Just cruising along, minding your own business, and the engine just kind of went bang like a double barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
And it poured oil all over the windscreen and couldn't see anything. And I fell back on my training and was able to safely crash the airplane.
Yeah.
And I would have been fine with the crash, even though I couldn't see anything with oil all over. But there was a fire. And fire is every pilot's worst nightmare. Just your absolute worst nightmare. I was severely burnt. I'm very prayerful and spiritual kind of a guy. And I was literally praying as I was crawling through the smoke and flames. And I know I'm here today because Heavenly Father saved me. Mm-hmm. So I woke up a week later and spent a month in the burn center in Columbus. And my doctors just did a wonderful job with me. And I'm kind of working my way back. So I'm a little bit afraid. I'm very afraid, just kind of cruising along right now. Yeah. So I did what everybody should do to get used to flying again, is I went out and bought a brand new Pitt Special.
Oh, really?
Okay. So I don't have time to think now. Yeah. So if I'm flying the airplane, I don't have time to think about the accident. I'm so busy, you know, doing loops and rolls and taking off, and then I got to land that Pitts. So it keeps me very occupied. I keep the flight to about 20 minutes, and I'm hoping that that's going to bring some of the fun back in aviation for me. And so far, it's working real well.
I hope so, too. You know, when we say it's great to see you, I mean it. It's great to see you.
It's good to see you. Yeah. It's good to see everybody. The only reason I came here is to see my friends.
Oh, thanks.
It's all about, you know, aviation's great, planes are great, but it's all about the people.
Yeah. Well, Rick, like I said, fabulous to have you here. You going to go back over and judge?
I'm late. I got to get
going
now.
Sorry, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks.
Okay, Bob.
Rick Ray is with us. Coming up, RVs from 1 to 14 when we come back.